Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garfinkel of Project 613 here in Chicago with a live studio audience. Well, that should wake you up this Monday morning. All right, we have an incredible podcast for you today. And we'd like to begin with the wonderful news that our daughter, Tehila and son-in-law Yaakov Rosenberg, had a baby boy. And we celebrated the Shalom Zachar, the party between the birth and the bris this past Friday night on Shabbos. It was very special. So many people were there. And with Hashem's help, maybe when many of you are listening to this Monday Motivation podcast, we will be bringing him into the covenant of Abraham with the bris milah. God willing, on Monday morning, we'd like to publicly thank Hashem, God Almighty, for this tremendous blessing, our third grandchild, and we are just overwhelmed with gratitude, overwhelmed with the opportunity to live Torah, the opportunity to teach Torah, and the opportunity to see generations of children and grandchildren, and for my parents and my mother-in-law, great-grandchildren, being raised in the ways of our ancestors and faithful to the Torah. It's really quite special. This past Parsha, Torah Parsha of the Week, it was literally the first Bris Milah when Avraham circumcised himself and his whole household. And this was, pre-anesthesia, and they were adults. Avraham was 99 years old. And it was from then. You've seen that has been the covenant that when we do Bris Milah, God will guarantee our continuity as a Jewish people, as well as our connection to the land of Israel. It's a very, very powerful covenant that we enter. And so we are looking very much forward to bringing this young baby boy Rosenberg into the covenant of Avraham Avinu, Abraham our father. All right, and also I have to just express our glee and being overjoyed with the bris of the Marcuses as well, our amazing Project 613 staff. They had a baby last week, the week before, so their bris was last week. We have another bris this week, so it's Project 613 is full of simchas, of happy times, and speaking of happy times, this past Wednesday night, the Project 613 Downtown Center was rocking. We had 57 people in the room learning Torah. We have a partnership with Olami, an amazing, really the umbrella organization for much of Jewish outreach that's happening in the world. And we are proud flagship affiliates here in Chicago, and we're partnering on an incredible mentorship program that connects our Jewish young professionals in downtown Chicago with members of the Jewish community, and it has been an incredible program. We had hard to describe the energy in that room. It was absolutely incredible. Jews of all backgrounds, Jews of all levels of observance, focusing on what unites us, and that was and that is Torah. And so everyone, it was Wednesday night after, many people in the room were sitting Shiva for the presidential elections. And I told everyone, I don't care if you're happy about the elections or sad about the elections, come Wednesday and you'll be happy, because that's what Jews do. We unite around Torah. We have such a deeper connection than these superficial fights. And so that was our response to the elections. All right. And now moving on, this coming week, if it hasn't been a bit, are you tired already? I'm tired. It's been probably going to be the busiest 2 weeks that I can remember in recent history. This coming weekend is Shabbos in the City. Yes, Project 613 is going downtown again. Last time we had about 100 people. We had a wait list. If you know Jewish young professionals who in downtown Chicago or want to get to downtown Chicago, please have them register. Project613.com/Shabbos in the City. Again, project613.com/Shabbos in the City. And it's not only our Shabbos in the City, it is an international Shabbos. It is called the Shabbos Project. Back in 2013, Rabbi Dr. Warren Goldstein, one of the great rabbis of our generation, really an amazing, amazing Jew, and his Rebbetzin as well, really an incredible what they've done for the Jewish people. They, in South Africa, started something called the Shabbos Project. In the first year, they wanted to see if they could get all of South African Jewry to keep one full Shabbos. So their hashtag is keeping it together, right? When you do it together, it's easier and more meaningful. And they started a Thursday night, a big challah bake, and you had thousands of South African Jewish women doing a challah bake. And then the Shabbos itself. And then the next year it went global, and it spread like wildfire. And it has introduced, and they've done it every year since, and it's introduced this concept of doing a full Shabbos, which to people who have not done a full 25-hour Shabbos, it's frightening. But once you do it, you realize, why didn't I do it before? It's absolutely incredible that you get to detach from your technology, you get to detach from work, and connect to the people that you love most, and have yummy food, and connect with the Almighty. And it is absolutely incredible. And I would like to give a push for people who listen to the podcast this week. If you can go all in and do 25 hours, great. And if it's not in the cards this week, then do something more. There will be literally hundreds of thousands, if not millions of Jews this Shabbos, November 15th and 16th, Parshas Vayera, that will be doing much more for Shabbos than they normally do. Plug in to the energy. And if you need to know how to do that, please let me know. And so what I'd like to talk about today is really heaven on earth. Heaven on earth is Shabbos, is nothing less than Shabbos. Let's get back to basics. I think if a lot of people would know about the basics of Shabbos and where does it come from, what does it mean, that it would be even more meaningful and would motivate them to want to try. So here we go. Here's the best horse and pony show that we're going to deliver here tonight. So where does Shabbos come from? Shabbos comes up in the Ten Commandments. Now, for another time, there's a famous question that I like asking. How many commandments are there in the Ten Commandments? Well, you can guess there's not 10. Why? Because basically, it's not called the Aseret HaMitzvot, the Ten Mitzvot. It's called the Aseret HaDibros, the Ten Statements. Each of these is a fundamental statement. Now, 8 out of the 10 of them have one mitzvah associated with it. But actually, 2 of them have more than one mitzvah that's associated with the statement. In other words, you can have a statement with many action points. So the second of the statements is against idol worship. There are 4 different types of prohibitions of idol worship: believing in false gods, bowing down to false gods, creating false gods, and then serving false gods in a strange way, like in their customs. So there's really 4 negative commandments, thou shalt nots, within the statement of not serving idols. Okay, other gods. So now, what about Shabbos? Shabbos is the other one that has 2 mitzvot, 2 mitzvot commandments in it. And those are to remember to do Shabbos, Zachor es Yom HaShabbos Kadsho, okay? Which means that you should remember the positive things about Shabbos. Those are all the positive things. Dress nicer, eat better, sleep more, marital intimacy, everything. This is the feel-good day. This is the day that we, day of connection, where we remove ourselves from the physical world. We're going to see literally heaven on earth. And those are all the positive things that we do on Shabbos. And if you ask Orthodox Jewish kids their favorite day of the week, there's no question that it's Shabbos. They get to eat food. They have fun with their friends. It is by far the favorite day of the week. And ironically, because most people think that is a day of restriction and limitation, and in certain ways it is, but that's only to allow the greatness of the day. And we're going to get to those limitations actually right now. Because the second part of the of the mitzvahs of that statement about Shabbos is lo taseh melacha, that you should not do any melacha. Now, it's usually translated as work. It does not mean work. It does not mean work. Meanings, so it means creative labor, creative activities that change the physical environment. So, for example, I could theoretically move my couch to all sides, you know, back and forth throughout my living room all day on Shabbos. And technically, I am not breaking any law of Shabbos. However, if I would take a match and strike it and take that potential of a match and then create a flame, I would be violating the laws of Shabbos. So there are 39 specific categories of prohibitions against Shabbos. And from those 39 categories, there's literally thousands of halachot of Jewish law, and it's a lifetime of study. But those 39 categories, 38 out of them deal with changing the physical environment. We are not allowed to do a creative act that is going to change the physical environment. I cannot plow. I cannot plant seeds. I cannot harvest. I cannot dye things certain colors. I can't weave, the whole weaving process. I cannot kill an animal. It's actually very interesting. Exceptions for dangerous animals that you could, that are a threat, etc. Tying a permanent knot and untying it, starting a fire, putting out a fire, building, etc. There's all sorts of things that deal with changing the environment. There's ironically the last one, or one of the last ones, is transporting things from a private domain to a public domain. Now, that doesn't deal with changing the physical environment, but it does have to do with mastering the human interaction. And even on Shabbos, we let that go. It's a very interesting, maybe a subject for its own podcast, but so let's get back to it. Why does God not on Shabbos not want us to change the physical environment? What is going on here? What's so bad about that? And also, let's look at some of the very interesting rituals that some people do on Shabbos or getting ready for Shabbos. So there's a custom to cut one's nails. There is on Erev Shabbos on Friday. There's a custom to go to the mikveh, for men to go to the mikveh during the day. On Erev Shabbos, on Friday during the day. And then there's actually a custom that many people do not do, but certain Sephardic people and other mystical people do, is they wear white on Shabbos. Now, this is a very interesting thing, because there's one more time where that happens, where people have their nails cut and people go into the mikveh. And people wear white. Can anyone think of it? It's when we are prepared to be buried. Whoa, you were not expecting that. Okay, pump the brakes, make sure when you're driving. I know I just threw a thought bomb over there. What in the world? What is going on over here? Because we see an unbelievable thing, that on Shabbos, we are literally reenacting a Broadway play of the next world, of what our life would be like in the next world. We are literally bringing heaven to earth. That's what Shabbos is. So the reason why we can't get in our cars and drive on Shabbos is not because fundamentally, morally, it's immoral to light a match or to have a piston spark with the gasoline. It's not a category of thou shalt not murder. It's a difference. But what Shabbos we're trying to do is to create the next world. And guess what? You're not going to have your Mercedes or your Beamer or your Tesla in the next world. So we remove it from the playing deck, from the card table on Shabbos, because we're recreating what our reality will be in the next world. It's unbelievable. And we put our phones away. Why? Because we're not going to have phones in the next world. And we put our computers away because we're not going to have computers in the next world. The only thing that we are going to have in the next world is who we make of ourselves. And so to that process, during the week, we're working to make ourselves better and grow and grow and grow. And on Friday, we enter the next world to remind us that the entire life, our entire life journey is a journey to the next world. Please delete and erase every Jewish teacher who's ever told you that Judaism does not believe in the next world. It is patently false and cyanide intellectual poison. And in fact, Shabbos is unique that Passover comes once a year, Shavuot comes once a year, Sukkot comes once a year, because that's enough energy, that spiritual energy of freedom on Passover and et cetera for each holiday is enough for us. But Shabbos comes every week. Why do we need Shabbos every week? Because Hashem says that when you're on a journey, you can get a flat tire. Your engine can go out and you can still survive. But there's one thing on a journey you can never forget, and that's your destination. And so Hashem says you're going to be alive 6 days on planet Earth and then rest on a seventh for Shabbos and put everything away and reenact what your reality is going to be in the next world. Why? Because I can't let you forget the destination of your whole life. The whole life we're working, God willing, 120 years to enter the next zone where we're not going to have an ability to change the physical environment, because there won't be any physical environment. This is a dimension of Shabbos that people don't realize. And therefore, when you have all of these, don't do this, don't do that on Shabbos, it's not random, because the great director and producer of this play called Shabbos, which is heaven on earth, is exacting from us the perfect behavior that will reenact what our existence will be in the next world. And if we can't be happy with the people around us and without our technology, then that says a lot about us. And so that's why we have Shabbos, to focus on and to develop our happiness muscles, to be content with what we have and to refocus what in the world are we doing on planet Earth. That is why Shabbos is really heaven on earth. Now, there's so many stories about Shabbos that I'd love to share with you, and we won't have time for many of them. But it's just so special that Shabbos is the heart of a Jew. You know, it's very interesting when someone becomes a fully observant Jew. You don't call him a Shomer Kashrut. Oh, he keeps kosher. You don't call him a Shomer, Hilchot Kesef. You know, like monetary laws. Shomer Choshen Mishpat. You call someone who becomes a full-fledged observant Jew a Shomer Shabbos, because that Shabbos is the great sign of everything that we hold near and dear and in the heart of the Jewish people. Now, there was an amazing woman named Pearl Banish, and she describes she was a Holocaust survivor. These are really not just survivor, but it just wrote an absolutely incredible book, To Vanquish the Dragon. I mentioned it once, actually. One of our dear students, Eric Gorenstein, after he listened to me mention that, he actually bought a copy for the Project 615 Center. It's very, very powerful. And so there was an incredible, incredible woman who was their leader. And she, it's absolutely incredible story, that in the middle of Auschwitz, in their bunk, what happened is that she lit a Shabbos candle and everyone else ran away, and she just stood here. And her name was Tzila Orlin. And Mrs. Banish talks about her. And the Germans never called anyone by their name, but her, she had a dignity. And they called her Orlin. Okay? And she was the only inmate that they called by a name. And so one Friday night, she lit her Shabbos candle. She said the blessing. And they heard the footsteps in the Nazi guard. And they said, put out the candle. And she said calmly, this is my Shabbos candle. I wouldn't dream of blowing it out. Everyone ran out of the barrack, and this SS came in, looked at her, and then at the candle. She kept looking at the candle. He stood there looking, and then he left. It was a light of Shabbos that even a diabolical Nazi soldier could not snuff out. Who would light Shabbos candles in Auschwitz? Jewish women would, because Shabbos is the soul of being Jewish. I have another story that I have to tell quickly just because I just heard it this Shabbos. There was a visiting rabbi named Rabbi Chaim Zaid, and he is an amazing rabbi, Israel, very popular personality and a big Talmid Chacham, a scholar. And he told this story in Hebrew, and I was blessed enough with the opportunity to translate on Shabbos afternoon for a group of Jewish high school girls. It was absolutely incredible. And he told this story about he was a guest speaker at a Shabbaton for 450 high school girls. And what happened? What happened was that right before, and that Friday, there was a mess up with the foods. There was actually no food that whole day except some snacks. And they left the food behind. And so they were really starving going into Shabbos. And he holds his cup up for Kiddush. And what happens? The teacher comes over to him and says, hold on one second. He's like, oh, okay, girls, sing a song. He goes back into the kitchen and he sees that there was a dreadful air. The place where they were renting sometimes is rented out to kosher people, and people keep kosher, and sometimes not, and they kosher the kitchen in between. And it turns out that there was the wrong message given, and none of the food had a heksher on it. It was not kosher food. It exists in Israel, believe me. And these girls were starving, and what were they going to do? And he made a quick decision. He comes back, and he makes Kiddush, and he says, Banot, girls, we have a special opportunity to keep Shabbos in an unbelievable way. For Friday night, we are going to have bread, salt, and water, because that was the only things that were kosher. And then for Shabbos day, we are going to have salt, water, and bread. And for the third meal, we are going to have water, bread, and salt. And all of the girls understood what was going on, and they embraced it. He said they had the most unbelievable Shabbos. 450 high school girls literally ate bread and water for their dedication for Shabbos. Absolutely incredible. The story got out, and here's the addendum to the story. It's absolutely unbelievable. He is part of an Israeli broadcast channel called Hidabrut, which does incredible education, and the story made it all its way to Boston. There's a wealthy man in Boston, observant Jew, who said, I've heard that story. Is it really true? He says, I confirm every fact, every detail of the story. And this man said, I want you to go to Israel near the school somewhere, find an open plot of land of 10 dunams, which is a significant real estate. I want to build and dedicate this school. He said, unbelievable. To buy them literally a new school. Rav Zaid says, sure, is any condition? He said, yes, one condition. My daughter is 28 years old and I want a shidduch for her. The merit of this donation should go to find a shidduch for her. A few days later, Rav Zaid gets another call. Now, this is from a man from near New York who heard the story as well. And he calls up and he heard about the whole thing. And he says, I want to donate the furniture and every bit of all the items inside the school. And Rav Zaid said, sure, in what srut, in what merit would you like to do this? He says, well, I have a son who's 30 years old. And he needs a shidduch. He wants to get married. And Rav Zaid started smiling. He says, I think I have the perfect person. And if you think that this story is too neat to happen, guess what? It happened. And so the 30-year-old son of the furniture donator and the 28-year-old daughter of the school donator got married. And we see the power of keeping Shabbos, the power of being dedicated to joyous celebration of Shabbos. And God willing, that we will be inspired by the depth of what Shabbos means, that we are literally bringing heaven to earth. It's not a punishment. You're putting your phone away. It's the greatest blessing, because you're not going to have your cell phones in the next world for all of eternity. So get used to it for one day a week. And in the merit of all the Jews who have kept Shabbos and all those who are keeping Shabbos this week and the Shabbos Project, may we be blessed, inspired to make Shabbos a main fundamental part of our weeks and of our lives. God bless. And we look forward to seeing you again right back here next week for another exciting edition of Monday Motivation.